Today on Midlife Crisis Task Force, it's all about movies. I'm Lefty.
I'm the amazing Rando.
And I'm Poncho. Welcome back.
All right, guys. It's been a while since we've been out here recording. I hope everybody's doing okay, had a good holiday, and all that good stuff.
Well, it's been interesting. Interesting in the sense of the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times.
Oh, do tell.
Well, let's see. Since we last recorded, which was about a month ago, I lost my job. That was the first thing. Exactly 2 weeks before Christmas, I was laid off by my employer because, as they told me, they wanted to upgrade the skill set at two positions in my group. I don't know what that means. probably means they wanted somebody younger and cheaper. That's about the long and short of it. That was 2 weeks before Christmas. Flew down to Florida with my wife to her in-law's place for the holidays. Started getting sick Christmas Eve. Was sick the entire time I was there. Pretty much thought it was a sinus infection. Had a bad headache and a little congestion and just felt rotten. Went to the doctor New Year's Eve and found out I had the flu. And an ear infection. And possibly a sinus infection as well. And I've been struggling with that ever since. Like, today is the first day I've actually started to feel halfway normal. So,
yeah, all of you listening
out there,
pace yourself.
Don't get the flu. Just don't get the flu. I'll be Yul Brynner. Whatever you do, don't get the flu.
That's like you had the trifecta fucked up two weeks there.
Fucking A. It was bad. It was bad.
Well, luckily, our T-Search sales will supplement your income.
Yeah, I'll start banking on that right now.
The checks are coming in.
And if you haven't been able to tell, we all three got new microphones, so I hope we're sounding a lot better than we were. I certainly do talking to each other anyway.
Exactly. Enjoying it. I think, you know, it sounds really good to me. I hope it does to you guys out there, too.
So how have you been, Rando?
Rando had a mediocre Christmas, but after Christmas, Rando bought himself some toys.
Cool. Toys are always good.
That's later and only between us.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, I have been very fortunate, and my works bonus came through, and I decided to get myself a Blu-ray player worth having. So I did that, and I've been enjoying that, except for having to watch this stinker of a movie we're going to review this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that later, though. But the theme of today's show is movies, so where do we want to start?
Well, I guess we can go and talk about the upcoming Oscars.
Okay.
Everyone's opinion of it, and my lack of opinion, since I haven't seen any of the movies up for nomination.
Well, I haven't seen any of them either, to be honest.
So this might be a real short conversation about the Oscars.
it could very well be. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, for Best Picture, we have Beasts of the Southern Wild, Silver Linings Playbook, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Amour, Django Unchained, and Argo. And out of all of these, I have only seen Django Unchained, but I'm going to go out on a very short limb here and say that probably Les Mis is going to take it just because it's the standard type of nauseating tearjerker that the Academy seems to love.
Exactly.
And if that doesn't take it, Silver Linings Playbook probably will, because again, it's the same nauseating, oh, these two broken people have taught each other how to love kind of schlock that the Academy tends to love.
And I don't understand that. Those kind of movies like that could be filmed on the fucking Hallmark Channel.
And many
of
them.
A lot of them, yeah.
Right, and why, and maybe I'm just a guy, I don't fucking get it, but why don't they just keep those movies on the Hallmark Channel? And, you know, let's have more robots and, you know, whatever out there on the screen. That's just my opinion.
Well, I don't know. I personally think Lincoln will probably get Best Picture, but it wouldn't surprise me if Les Mis got it because that's exactly the type of spectacle that the Oscars go for. Or at least they used to go for. They've kind of gotten away from that recently, but I don't know. That Lincoln's the only one of those movies that I find myself having to go see, wanting to go see, I should say, because I am a history buff and I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm pretty sure Daniel Day-Lewis is a lock for Best Actor, for what I've heard.
Well, what I've never understood is, I mean, a comedy has never won Best Picture, and I'm never have understood that. Why does it have to be some sort of boring drama, or, you know, like you said, a fucking love story that's been told 100 times? You know, why can't a comedy win? Why can't we laugh and, you know, win an award?
I really think they look down their pious noses at the whole thing. And if anybody from the Academy is listening, yes, you look down your pious nose at things that people tend to actually like.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with appealing to the mass audience. Now, granted, you know, maybe 90% of what the mass audience likes is crap, but still.
Generally, yes.
Yeah, but still, you know, there's some good stuff out there that usually doesn't even get looked at, you know, because it's just not hoity-toity enough.
Well, sometimes they do pick the one that's popular over the one that's probably the better film. Go back about 10, 15 years ago, Forrest Gump won the Best Picture, and it was up against The Shawshank Redemption and Pulp Fiction. Now, who in their right minds would say Forrest Gump was a better movie in the long run, long term, than those two were?
No, exactly. I'll give you that. I liked Forrest Gump.
Yeah, it was a decent movie, and I believe Tom Hanks earned his Oscar for it.
Right.
But I was not Best Picture, not compared to fucking Pulp Fiction. Come on, that movie really changed how movies were made and subject matter and everything from then on. And Shawshank Redemption was just a great story with great acting. I don't get it, but
I don't understand it either.
I think it's Tarantino's appealing to showing the dark underbelly of things. I honestly think that his movies, although exceptional in their own ways, I think it makes some of the people in charge of making these decisions uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
But the fact that he keeps getting nominated shows that they at least give him some sort of respect, that, you know, they understand that this is a spectacle. This is something special, but I'm not yet prepared to give it a full attention and really, you know, nominate it for multiple categories or nominate or really vote on it to win.
Right. Well, I mean, not to go off on topic here, since we are focusing on movies, but if you think about award shows in general, okay, everything goes to white bread, middle America. Let's make it as vanilla as possible. You know what I mean? Because you don't, especially with music, you know, it's whatever. I don't know. It's the Carrie Underwoods and stuff.
You know, I think the only thing to really buck that trend is 8 Mile.
8 Mile. What's his name in it?
The Eminem movie.
Yeah, I never
saw that.
Me either.
I never did either, but I mean, I mean, the song won freaking best, you know, Oscar for best song for the movie or whatever they call it, category.
Right.
That blew my mind because they performed that song and I was actually dumb enough to sit down and watch it. Nice. And for those of you who don't get it, I don't like rap music. I don't think rap in many cases is in fact music. It might be an art form, but I don't consider it music in the traditional sense. You may agree, you may disagree. That's entirely up to you. Hip hop is another matter. I think it involves more musical stylings than the actual quote unquote rap, but that's another show topic.
Oh, that's a very good one.
Let's get back to movies.
Okay.
I will say that, there aren't terribly a lot of surprises. I mean, everybody is, you know, all the things are pretty much falling in line. The only thing that really does surprise me is the fact that Django got nominated for Best Picture, given its subject matter.
Well, maybe they have different people voting this year. I mean, you would think the Academy and all that would eventually be getting younger. You know what I mean? I mean, as far as age-wise.
Younger doesn't necessarily mean less conservative, though.
Well, that's
true. The problem with the Academy is they're very conservative. They want to, you know, there's only certain, like we both pointed out, there's only certain types of films they're going to look at. You know, they're not going to put a comedy up there. If they do, it's not going to win.
Right.
How many times have they put an animated film up there? What, once, twice? Has an animated film gotten nominated for Best Picture?
Right.
You know, it's always these dramas. The bigger the spectacle, the more it tugs your heartstrings, the more likely it is to win. And that's just how it is.
Well, like I said, they play it safe.
And the Grammys are no better. The Grammys are even worse. You know, if it's got to be, as one of you was saying, the most white bread, bland stuff, that's what's going to win a Grammy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I say I've never liked any of these award shows. I mean, when I was in high school, I probably watched them or at least had the TV on with music in the background. I mean, maybe that doesn't constitute watching it. But, I mean, you just see how plastic and how artificial that whole scene is. Yeah. You know what
that
I mean?
That is a very good old school reference that nobody will get.
There you go. Since I am old school.
Yeah.
We'll sign off the Oscars, I guess. We all do. I guess I'll sign off my comments with this, that in everything I'm looking at on the nominations, you can pretty much guess what's going to happen. But I am going to go out and make a prediction that Les Mis will probably win Best Picture. And for Best Supporting Actor, in my opinion, it's Christoph Waltz's statue to lose. And if anybody does not know who that is, he played the German Hans Landa in Inglourious Basterds. And that is a performance, whether you hate the movie or love the movie, that is a performance that you should pay attention to because it is stellar. And I'll sign off my comments with that.
All righty.
All right. Well, I guess this is a good point here to either we can go from really good movies to really bad movies, or I do have like a mini rant myself, and maybe we can talk about this for a couple of minutes, then maybe get to the movie.
Mini rant.
Go for it.
Mine this week is concerning The Hobbit. I refuse to watch that movie, and I'll tell you why. They're taking this book, which is, I don't know, what would you say, Pancho, 350 pages?
Yeah, if that.
If that. And making it into three movies just because they fucking can.
Yeah.
And drawing people to the theater. Now, I'm not going to become part of that. And I realize it's not the studio's fault. Totally the studio's fault. It's the dumbasses who keep going to these fucking movies like this.
It's called a cash cow.
Right. It's a cash cow. Look at what was the last Harry Potter movie was split into two movies.
Yeah. The last Twilight film was split into two movies.
Right. And that, you know, garbage right there. But, I mean, but it's like they're not doing it for the sake of making a good movie. They're doing it to get the cattle to come into the theater.
Yeah.
And I do not like that. It makes me mad. And it makes me mad that people will go do it. You know, and I'll have, you know, there'll be people that say, well, you're going to miss out on a great movie. And for me and my little $10, I don't care. This $10, if you multiply it by three, that's $30 they're not getting from me. Because I refuse to take part in this because it's a scary trend that really I think it's going to hurt movies in the long run because there's going to be so much filler put in there.
Anybody remember Cujo?
Yes.
The movie? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a short story padded out to a fucking hour and a half movie.
Wow. Well, a lot of those Stephen King movies are.
Hide in the car and look scared.
Right.
Okay, keep hiding in the car. And look scared.
Okay, we can pad this out here. I mean, yeah, exactly, though. I mean, it's like, maybe this is the reverse of it, but still, it's like, I mean, three fucking movies. There's no goddamn way unless you tape it in slow motion, that there's any fucking need to do this.
You know, I could see them splitting. That's my favorite book. I'm going to go make the disclosure there.
True.
And in fact, I just started reading it again a couple of days ago. I could see to where they could split it in two pretty easily.
Yes, you know, I could see too.
When they leave Hobbiton until they get to the Lonely Mountain.
Sure.
And then from there to the end of the story. You could make two movies there.
Yeah, you can. I could see that.
I can't see doing three. And they've written in Galadriel somehow, who doesn't appear in The Hobbit.
See, I didn't know they added all that extra stuff. I thought they were just maybe...
Well, they had to add the extra stuff. How could you stretch it into three movies without adding stuff?
I don't know what I didn't think they were doing. Well, that's the third movie's just the credits.
We'd like to spend 2 hours thanking everyone who worked on the CGI for this.
Exactly. Little Sarah made great sandwiches for the crew. I don't get it, guys. I just don't understand it.
They're not just doing it in movies either. They're doing it in books. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series. That was supposed to be 12 books. You know, one for each hour on the clock. Well, Robert Jordan died, and he hadn't finished the last book. And so I think his son and another guy collaborated to finish it. But they're splitting that into three novels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's going to be like 14 books total.
See, if they were really smart, they would have done it in military time and really milked it
out. Yeah, there you go. 24 books. There you go.
Exactly.
I only read the first, like, one and a half, and I heard it got pretty repetitive. But, you know, I haven't read all of them, so don't flame us for not liking Wheel of Time.
Yeah, exactly. It's really bothering me. I mean, I'll be honest, disclosure here for me, the whole movie experience for me is not fun anymore.
It isn't fun for me anymore either.
So I just really don't want to be subjected to a bunch of bullshit in a movie that I don't need to see. You know what I mean? If you're going to make up shit, it's one thing to just take certain things out. Fine, whatever. They did that with the Lord of the Rings. Fine. They changed some stuff. That second, what was this, Two Towers?
Yeah.
I hated that movie. I hated that one. The first one was the best one. I wish they could continue in that vein. But on a side note, going back to The Hobbit real quick, another reason I don't want to watch it, I've heard they've written in comedy to this.
Oh, boy.
Yes. A lot of jokes, a lot of one-liners. And I'm like, no.
I did not like The Two Towers either. The version they ran in the theater I did not like. Mm-hmm. But the extended one that was released on DVD was a much better film. Much better.
I have that in my pile of movies to watch. I saw it at the theater, and when I saw, Legolas going down on those stairs on the shield, I almost walked out. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Nope.
Well, it could have been worse. They could have had a music video montage featuring all the characters at the beach.
Well, that's true. They could have.
Yeah, that's true.
They could have had them singing "Oh, or whatever the fuck. Oh no, what was
that? Snow White.
Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs. Yeah. They could have had them do that.
That's true. I mean, it's just a sad trend. I hope it doesn't continue.
What I was doing was from the Wizard of Oz because I couldn't remember the damn song they sang in Snow White.
Yeah.
Getting old and forgetful.
Yeah, same here. Don't feel bad.
I will go see The Hobbit. I know my wife really wants to go. We were going to go this past week when her sister was here, but I was still too sick to go to the theater. So we'll probably go eventually. So I'll report back and let you know how it is.
I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing what you say. I mean, I'm not even going to say it wouldn't be something I enjoy. I'm just saying I'm not going because of the fucking principle of it.
Well, I understand that. I definitely do.
They pissed me off. They pushed me too far.
Well, going back to what we were saying about the theater, the movie going experience not being fun anymore. I have to second that. I love going to a theater and watching a film. I mean, that's how the director wants you to see it. But audiences nowadays do not know how to fucking behave in a movie theater anymore. I mean, when I grew up, it was pretty much strum D&D. You didn't talk. You didn't get them walk around. You didn't make noise because other people were trying to enjoy the film. So you have to be quiet like you're in a library. Well, the younger generation today just doesn't get that. I don't know why. Maybe it's from watching movies on the DVD player at home in the living room or constantly being on the... But I just... Audiences don't know how to properly behave in a theater, and I is maybe once or twice a year that I even bother going. So,
I do second that. I was personally the victim of somebody ruining the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man in the middle of the climactic final fight between Spidey and the Green Goblin. Some douche gets a phone call. He's in the front of the theater. He goes to the emergency exit to get a better signal. Stands in the doorway with the door open.
Oh, fuck.
This is at a matinee and lets all the light in the theater. And
that's exactly what I'm talking about there. Exactly.
If I had actually had a pair of balls, I would have gone down there and kicked his ass out. But at any rate, there are precious few theaters who will take the risk of throwing people out who disrupt the movie. They are more interested in keeping the ticket receipts than they are in doing it. And I think that is a detriment. I think more people would bother to go out to the theaters if they said, hey, these guys are going to enforce the fucking rules. Yeah. It's not just going to be some little animated blurb. Please turn off your cell phones. It's nice. No, put some teeth behind it. You find somebody in there talking out loud. You find somebody who won't shut up. You find somebody making a phone call. Kick their ass out. If you don't want to kick them out, put a Faraday cage in there so they can't get a damn signal in the first place.
Well, I totally agree with you on that, Rando. The thing is, the theater hires a bunch of kids themselves. They won't do anything. They won't do anything to the kids because I've been told before by theater managers that they're so fucking paranoid about these little parents
that
coming
is
in.
The problem. It's not the employees, it's the managers. It's the managers and the bosses of the managers that they want that money. They're, you know, you get theaters, independent theaters, as I understand, like the Alamo Draft House, will kick people out for talking. And it's my understanding also, and I've actually heard this, they kicked a girl out for yakking. She called up and left this bitch fest on their answering machine. They put that They actually have the capability of recording on film. They recorded her rant on film, which basically showed what a complete dumbass she was, and turned that into an ad that they played before movies to please turn off your cell phones. Please don't yak. We will throw you out. We mean it.
Well, let me tell you what the last straw was for us. And we're getting way off the Oscars here, but that's good. We're on a roll. Yeah. Yeah, we're still on movies.
We're still on movies.
We went to see, with my wife and a friend of ours, we went to see the second X-Men movie. And we went on, I think, either Friday or Saturday night. Got in the theater, sat down. Right when the preview started, I'd say 36 middle school-age kids filed into the theater and took up all three of the front rows. They proceeded to act like they were at a slumber party for the rest of the movie, talking, throwing things, talking on their phones. We got up and complained to the manager. They came out. They threw one of them out. The one little bastard was cussing the guy out, dropping F-bombs on him for throwing her out of the theater. And that went on through the whole movie. And we went up afterward and said, we want our money back. And they apologized, gave us our money back, and said that there's nothing they could do, that they throw these kids out, and their parents call them up bitching the next day, wanting to know why their little angel got thrown out of the movie. To which my buddy and I both said to my wife that if we got thrown out of a movie and went and told our parents about it, the first words out of their mouths would have been, well, what were you doing to get thrown out of the movie?
Exactly. And this goes to another topic I think we would need to have on this show, is about entitlement. And younger generation.
And they ought to get off
our
lawns.
And even people our age. But exactly. But, I mean, seriously, my problem is with it. It's like you said, all of the above. My experience, probably it was more of an annoyance. It just got it didn't really make me mad, but it was like we went, me and Mrs. Lefty went to see Spider-Man 2, the, well, not Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man as well, the first one. And every time the Green Goblin would come up, somebody had their little two-year-old in the theater. And they would go, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Every time he'd pop up on the screen.
Why would you bring a child that young to a movie like that? Why would you bring a child that young to a movie, period?
I don't know. Find a babysitter. Find a babysitter. Well, that's, see, that's the thing about going back to the gang of kids mm-hmm. that you had to deal with. The parents just treat the theater as a babysitter for an hour and a half.
Well, that's what Mrs. Poncho was asking my friend and I. So why would you spend all that money to drop your kids off at the theater if they're going to get thrown out? And we both said, well, it's cheaper than babysitting.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And that accountability for that has ruined it for me. And I'm not even getting to the prices of everything. But, I mean, that's another issue. But, I mean, people do not know how to behave. People have to be connected all the fucking time to their electronics. And it just annoys me when I see a cell phone flip open or I see an iPod or iPad, whatever, somebody's doodling something on that. It's just, it annoys me. I mean, it's like, have some respect for other people.
The first Riff Trax live event that they did a few years back, I went to see it and I was sitting next to this guy who is in his 40s, I'd say. Older than I was at the time. Like every 15 minutes, he'd pull his BlackBerry out and check it to see if he'd gotten a message. And of course, it would light up and it would blind me. And finally, after about the third or fourth time, I just looked at him. I said, that's really annoying. And he was all, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He didn't do it again. But.
Yeah, just a few things for everyone. When you go to the movies, act like you're in the library. Respect the work that's on the screen. Number two,
respect your fellow patrons.
Exactly. And don't bring children into a movie that's not meant for children. I don't care if you can't find a babysitter. If you can't find a babysitter, stay home. Watch something on TV.
Exactly.
And just act like you got some freaking home training, for God's sakes. You know, it's not that hard.
Exactly.
You know, put your devices away. You're not that fucking important. Enjoy the movie. That's what you went to it for in the first place. Shit.
I don't think people do enjoy stuff anymore. I mean, I think they go to go sometimes
and talk to their
friends because,
especially when you're talking young kids.
I mean, exactly. People do not know how to behave, and I'm just like, I just don't deal with it. If we go anymore, it literally is in the mornings.
Yeah, I try to go see the earliest show possible because the people who make an effort to that show, more often than not, are there to see the damn show.
It's the same if you go in the evening in the middle of the week after work, especially if school's in, because kids aren't going to be there.
And I never go on the opening night.
Oh, fuck no.
No.
Fuck no. Especially if it's a big blockbuster film. Mm-hmm. You know, one of these summer block action films like Transformers or one of these superhero films. Oh, fuck no.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. It's just not worth the hassle. You know, and it's just, it just takes away from it because, like I said, when you add the cost in, you're in a big room with a big pile of people anyway, and it's like, I don't know. Just have a little consideration for your fellow moviegoers. All it takes is 3 seconds of your time to be courteous. Yeah. Think about something before you do it. But that's my old man rant on that.
The Midlife Crisis Task Force cares.
Yes, deeply.
Exactly.
So,
and speaking of, go ahead.
Tell me,
I'm sorry.
You were
go
talking
ahead.
About taking young kids to a film, Lefty. How old were you when your sister took you to see The Exorcist?
I was 5 or 6. it hasn't affected me at all.
Oh, what was she thinking?
That might have been a little age inappropriate, but it was the 70s, so it was a laid-back time.
It was a bonding moment.
It was a bonding moment between my shorts and poo.
Oh, speaking of poo, why don't we move on?
Oh,
yep.
Great lead-in.
Alrighty.
Well, I guess everybody got a chance to watch our stinker, Bigfoot.
It was a stinker, yeah. But I have to say, it was not as bad as I was expecting it was going to be.
Really?
I had expected it to be a lot worse than this, but this is pretty – that's pretty typical of what you get from the Sci-Fi Channel, that film. I mean, if you have to watch a bad movie, Sci-Fi is the place to go. I mean, they make some of the deliberately make some of the worst crap I've ever seen.
Yeah. And to remind our listeners, we're talking about the Bigfoot from 2012 with Danny Bonaducci and Barry Williams, and as Pancho was saying before, made for the Sci-Fi Channel,
or
so
the Sci-Fi Channel, as we sometimes call it.
Yeah. The Sci-Fi Channel. It brings you sci-fi crap and wrestling.
Yeah.
for some reason.
Because we all know how well that goes together.
Exactly. Well, who wants to start on this?
Oh, it's your movie. Yep. Why don't you take the reins?
Oh, I will. Well, let's put it this way. When you first see the credits, you know you're in for a special treat. And never, not even since, I'd say, North by Northwest has Mount Rushmore had such a, I don't know, calling to a movie to have an exciting backdrop as this one did. It was pretty bad. Everybody looked old, and I guess
really
they are
old.
So the biggest disappointment was the girl from Twin Peaks,
Sherilyn Finn,
who played Audrey on Twin Peaks.
That was just sad.
She has not aged well.
That was very, very
she
sad.
She reminded me of my aunt, who is in her 70s, if that says anything. And she's only like 47.
Oh, yeah, geez. She looks like she's liking the gravy nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
It just wasn't. I mean, let's go over this cast one quick time before we get into it. We have Danny Bonaducci, Barry Williams, as mentioned before, Bruce Davidson, the best I could tell you on him, if anybody has seen, was it X-Men 2?
Yeah.
It was in the first X-Men.
Uh-huh.
He played the senator who was after all the mutant registration in the first X-Men, who was changed into a mutant by Magneto and subsequently died later in the film.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, and Barry Williams, for those who don't recognize the name, which I'm sure there are many who don't, that was Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch.
Right.
Danny Bonaducci has significantly made enough of an ass of himself in his later life that everybody should know who he is.
But if you don't,
exactly.
He was one of the kids. He was the youngest kid on the Partridge Family.
He was the youngest.
Yes,
kid.
He was. Absolutely. Yes.
And we got Alice Cooper was in it for, 5 minutes maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
And Howard Hessman.
Who was Dr.
Johnny
Fever.
Which is
Dr. Fever
Johnny Fever.
On WKRP,
exactly.
Yep.
And a bunch of nobodies after that.
pretty much. Here's the biggest thing, one of the biggest things, aside from the obvious shit. One of the biggest things that made an impression on me was that this whole movie centered around Bigfoot making an attack on, you know, Armpit, South Dakota, or wherever it was filmed.
Deadwood, South Dakota. And nobody used the word cocksucker for the entire film. If you've ever seen the TV show
Deadwood.
The audience
did, I'm sure.
Oh, the audience certainly did. If you ever seen the TV show, the old Showtime show Deadwood, filmed in the same town just 150 years earlier ago, cocksucker is every other word in the fucking film. There's like cussing all over the place, and that did not happen in this film, which would have made it a better movie if it had.
Oh, much, much. But here's the thing that really got me is that the premise of this story was that basically Bigfoot hates 80s music.
And who doesn't?
Because Danny Bonaducci is a has-been DJ and a ruthless self-promoter. Who is trying
just like real
to?
Life.
Yeah,
really.
Art imitates life. There,
trying to set up a cheeseball '80s concert that has an audience literally of tens.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest thing, ladies and gentlemen of the internet: Barry Williams, aka Greg Brady, gets to sing, but Alice Cooper does not.
They couldn't afford it.
Probably not. Probably couldn't afford to pay his rent.
Apparently not. Alice Cooper throws a rubber python into the crowd and then beats his mic stand with a writing crop, shakes his fist at Bigfoot, and yells.
And gets kicked out of the county.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Yeah. You know?
And they had the most horrible, generic metal music playing
yes.
while he's there.
I don't even think metal qualifies.
No.
Now, this is like the ship music they played in the background whenever Scooby and the gang were at the mall.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, my first big pet peeve about this movie, which there are many. No, really. I mean, you know, I don't want to really, you know, overstep my bound with this, but here.
You're so subtle and low key.
But my whole thing was, if y'all guys remember at the very beginning of the movie when they were promoting the concert and whatever the fuck else they were doing, they were talking about how they were children of the 80s. They're closer to being children of the 1880s than the 1980s. Because these fuckers are old. And I'm saying nobody was listening to their music in the 80s.
No.
Barely in the 70s. So I'm like, where the fuck does that premise? Who's daydreaming on that one?
What I wondered about that, if you're going to have that as part of your film, this 80s nostalgia, couldn't you find some washed-up has-been actors, musicians from the 80s that actually appear in it and not some from the 70s?
I would think so. I mean, Flock of Seagulls are not doing anything, I wouldn't
Boy
think.
Boy George isn't doing much.
Along with all those clowns from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, exactly. Any of those guys.
I mean, it was just, oh my God, it was just bad. Then you got to talk about the CGI.
Oh God, my 6-year-old niece could have done a better job.
I mean, sci-fi movies are really, their CGI is really bad, but this one sets a new low.
Oh.
Yeah, this is video game engine CGI for all you hipsters out there.
Yeah.
But late 90s CGI.
Yeah. Really bad. A la Scorpion King, bad.
Well, see, what I was wondering, and I was going to ask you guys this, when I was watching it, now I watched half of it on the TV, and then I finished watching it on my computer. Now, did you guys notice, especially later in the film, when the creature was up, did the screen go black and white? Or really gray to you guys?
I didn't because notice that.
All right, did you, Rando?
No. I was the only one, I think, who punished myself in watching it on a really big screen. and no, it didn't go black and white. It was probably just the bleakness of your soul.
It probably was, now that you say that. I just thought it was odd.
Here's another fun fact out of this movie. There is practically no police presence in Deadwood, and all they apparently do is there's two cops, one of which is the director of the film, the other one is Sherilyn Fenn, and the third guy I think is the token black character out of the entire film, and they basically all they do is park in front of the cop station. And then drive away.
Yeah.
For 90% of the movie, that's all they do. And then when they do shoot, they can't hit shit. It's like they hired the A-team.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, they go over halfway through the movie before anybody bothers to call, hey, maybe we better get somebody with some bigger fucking guns.
Yeah, because the fucking military doesn't show up till the very end, and they don't even do anything.
Oh, and speaking of, did you guys remember the scene when they first run into the tank?
Yeah.
Or the quote-unquote tank that looked like a goddamn something out of somebody's junkyard they slapped together.
Not to mention the fact that you got Bigfoot, which is, what, less than, I would say, maybe a quarter or a mile away from the tank.
Mm-hmm.
The tank fires, and the shell lands in front of the bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And the worst they do to this motherfucker is set him on fire for about 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs away to Bigfoot land. But here's the one thing, above and beyond the obvious continuity error, as Lefty mentioned, Mount Rushmore plays a significant portion in this film. Bigfoot eventually tries to scale, I believe it's Washington's face.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, there is a news chopper, of course, getting in the way of everything.
Of course.
Of all the you know, fast-paced action going on.
The news reporter was the worst actor in this fucking film, too. My 6-year-old niece could have done a better job acting than that girl did.
I tell you, the best actors were the actors playing the dead bodies.
Yeah.
But Bigfoot takes this giant leap off of the face of Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
grabs the tail of the chopper, and as the chopper is spinning out of control, apparently does this Gymkhana move. It lands back on Washington's face up near the cheek.
Yeah.
They cut away, they cut back, and he's on Washington's lip and chin again. Every time I see stuff like this, I think of two things. I think, you know, way back in the day, I saw a comedian, I think it was Paula Poundstone. She was talking about this silly Snickers commercial that was on at the time. And she made the comment, somebody had to write that down on a piece of paper. And that's what I think of when I see this stuff. And then when I see the production value afterwards, I think of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when they walk on the movie set and go, whoa, this must have set him back $50.
It probably did. That's probably how much they paid Bonaducci and Williams to be in this movie.
To that point, at least like Jay and Silent Bob was tongue-in-cheek and it wasn't taking itself seriously. This movie, unfortunately, was. I mean,
oh, dear Lord, especially with the environmental.
Oh, exactly. God.
They beat you over the head with a sledgehammer every time they wanted to bring that environmental message home. It was bad.
And I wanted to know what the fuck is wrong with Barry Williams if he sees this motherfucker kill 15 people. We've got to save it. We've got to save it.
Not just 15 people, but 15 people from his harem. He had this little harem of women that I kind of like the Manson family. They followed him around all over the place. And they all die one by one, but he still wants to save the damn
exactly.
monster.
That's very true. But he had enough women and enough of a harem that totally believed in everything he said. This movie should have been set in Montana.
I know. He had some very odd smiles on his faces when he was doing that. I mean, it's like the movie doesn't have the decency to make fun of itself. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus Christ, y'all, it looks like you're actually taking this seriously. You're actually trying, I think, in some scenes.
That's what's so sad about all the movies the Sci-Fi Channel makes. They're all slapped together in a hurry, bad hackneyed dialogue, you know, has-been actors, but everybody's like putting all their effort into it to try to make it seem like it's something, you know, that's going to win awards. Oh, please, come on.
Well, that's the thing. I was talking to Mrs. Lefty about this, like, I mean, I know why they make these movies. They're just trying to turn in a quick buck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take $50,000 to make a movie. Maybe you make $100,000. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what the actual goal is.
And it fills up an hour and a half of airtime.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But why really, what's the mindset of someone who says, how should I put it? Who the fuck wakes up every morning to go, God damn it, I'm proud to be on this set. You know what I mean? I don't understand it.
Davison, apparently, he directed this crap fest.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Thank God they make these kind of movies because I love them. But I'm like, these people have to be one fucking bullet away from blowing their heads off. I could either kill myself or step on the set of this movie and try to get through one more day without a drink. I don't get it. It's just like, what the fuck, man? Who's doing this? You know, and it's like,
the Sci-Fi Channel, that's who.
Yeah, that's all you need to know, apparently. But
supposedly that's what happened on the Super Mario Brothers movie, that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo only got through it after many nights of heavy drinking.
I can only imagine. I never saw that.
Think of the check. Oh, don't.
Well, now that you say that, that might be my next movie choice.
You shut up.
That's funny.
Oh dear. So, okay, so we've covered the Oscars. We've covered a really shitty movie. Is there anything that anybody is looking forward to this year?
You mean as far as the movies go?
Yeah.
Oh Lord, I don't even know what's coming out. I'm so out of touch with movies.
For me, I mean, just to, if I get a chance to go, and we'll if. You know, Miss Lefty still enjoys going to the movie more than I do. But we'll probably go see the new Iron Man movie.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know if Avengers is coming out this year or not.
I think that's next year.
I think that's two years, actually.
Is it that long?
Next year, okay. I think next year is Captain America and probably Hulk. This year, I know
Wolverine.
Unless something happens, yeah. there's three Marvel movies this year. There's Iron Man 3, the next Wolverine film, which is still in the hands of Fox, so it's probably going to suck. And the next Thor movie, which the first one, I was really surprised that I actually liked it, because that's a hard thing to pull off, that Shakespearean stuff.
It's I liked it better than I thought I would like it. It was definitely better than the made-for-TV movie that they did.
Everything was better than the made-for-TV. With that one clown going, oh, no!
Exactly.
Oh, holy shit. Yep. For me, honestly, I'm looking forward to John Dies at the End, which, if you get a chance, all of you mature viewers, they have just, in the past week, I think, released a Red Band trailer for. To be honest, I am looking forward to The Last Stand. Some people might roll their eyes over Schwarzenegger, but I'm going to see it for the director, a man named Kim Ji-woon, who is South Korean, I believe, directed a film that I thoroughly enjoyed called The Good, the Bad, the Weird. If you haven't seen it, you really should. And I'm looking forward to, of course, the main Marvel films from Paramount, which would be Thor 2 and Iron Man 3. And that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
All right. How about you, Poncho?
Like I said, I don't even know what's coming out anymore. I do want to go see The Hobbit. Mrs. Poncho and I will do that.
Well, you can take Mrs. Lefty if you like. That's fine.
If y'all live closer, we would. And I want to go see Lincoln. But really, I don't know what's coming down the pipe, so I'll just have to wait and see. If I see something I like, there's probably a 90% chance that I'll wait for it to come out on DVD, because as we laid out earlier, I can't stand going to the theater anymore. So
I understand that.
I usually save my theater trips for like the big, big, big spectacles. Otherwise, I tend to wait. I have a home theater. I use the privilege.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope, nothing at all. When we do tend to go to the movies, it tends to be to see either one of the Riff Tracks live, or we tend to go to one of the local art house films because they're showing a classic film. Like I would have loved last night, the theater near here was showing a double bill of 2001, A Space Odyssey, and something else that I don't remember what it was, but it was another film I would have
Planet
loved.
It was Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes.
And that, oh, wow.
That, in fact, was supposed to be showing the night of this very recording.
Yes, it's been playing right now, as a matter of fact. Would have loved to have gone to see that, but I was not quite well enough yet to make a trip out to see a movie like that.
The good thing about those kind of places and those movies, you're not going to get a rowdy crowd.
No, people that because go, they want to be there. They want to actually go see that film.
If they hunt that out, they want to be there. You're not going to get a bunch of dumbasses in there trying to cause trouble.
Yeah.
So that would be a good one to go check out. So what? I guess this is about wrapping us up for this week. Yeah. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think we've done a good job this week. Rando, you're up for the B-movie review. What's your choice?
Yes, I am. I had the pleasure of seeing something that I had heard about for a long time when I was in college and never had the balls to actually go to the video store. The video store back when they had tapes, kids. And Rent is a cinematic turd called Surf Nazis Must Die.
Ooh.
And I promise it will bring you pain and tears and probably therapy. mostly it's just boring. But there is one character, and this is the main difference between it and Bigfoot. There is actually a character in that movie that you want to rally behind and you want to win.
Yeah.
And she does.
That's great. Can't wait.
So there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
How would that compare to teenage zombies and Bigfoot, do you think, if you had to rank the three of them?
I would say as far as the fun factor of getting to make fun of, teenage zombies is on top. But I could film myself taking a shit, and I would like that over Bigfoot. Nah.
Well, I can't. I'm going to have to pick out something
extra special.
And
I don't like to look at myself in the mirror.
Well, I'm going to have to pick out something extra special for my turn next.
Yeah, so,
you bastard.
But I guess next time we're here, we're going to have postings for the show and links to Bigfoot and everything, correct, guys?
That should already be up.
Yeah, it should already be up. Okay, good. Yep. We're going to keep posting. Keep checking out the site. It's mlctaskforce.com. We welcome your emails or comments onto the site. You know, we're doing this for us mostly, but we'd like to hear from you guys. If anybody's out there listening to us, let us know what you think, good, bad, or ugly. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Feedback of any kind is appreciated.
Exactly. So I guess until next time, you know, we're going to have another bad movie, and it's going to be more random, random bits of information and pop culture for you guys. So I hope you guys have a good time and enjoy this show, and we can't wait to do another one for you.
Yep. Been a fun one. Looking forward to next time. And as I said earlier, don't get the flu.
And finally, this is Rando signing off, reminding you again that our main site is mlctaskforce.com. We are very happy to hear from you, and hey, let's enjoy ourselves.
All right, well, y'all guys take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you. Everybody have a good one.